Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajiv Ranjan, CFO of Shivalik, who will also be accompanied by Mr. Sumer Ghumman, Managing Director of SEPPL, and Mr. Kanav Anand, Head of Sales and Marketing. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ranjan.
Yeah, thank you, Rohit. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Q1 FY24 earnings con call. I am delighted to present our financial performance for the first quarter, a period that took off our pivotal role in India's energy-efficient transformation. The company's Q1 FY24 results reflect our commitment to operational efficiency and innovation. Notably, our revenue surged to rupees 113.07 crore, representing a 15.74% year-on-year growth, making a significant milestone as the highest quarterly figure in our history. In addition, our gross profit reached rupees 56.31 crore, exhibiting 14.97% year-on-year growth, guided by our principle of efficiency. Our EBITDA also reached rupees 28.99 crore, with an increased 19.60% year-on-year growth. This sustainable growth in profitability reflects our capacity to deliver sustainable value and reinforce our role as a leading player in the industry. Furthermore, as India embraces smart metering to reduce AT&C losses and enhance DISCOM efficiency, Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited looks forward to further strengthening its pivotal role in the nation's electrification drive. The company's well-established technology and shunt resistors seamlessly integrate into India's sustainable energy ecosystem, providing precision and reliability required for efficient energy usage. In Q1 FY24, the shunt resistor division witnessed an 8.97% increase. Additionally, the bimetal division recorded robust growth of 22.45%, furthering our contribution to India's electrification transformation. The company's performance this quarter is signified by India's economic growth and burgeoning domestic market in the face of global market challenges. India's resilience and the domestic market's sustained demand for our components position us to embrace the future with a continued focus on operational efficiency and cutting-edge innovation. We are determined to expand the company's influential position in shaping India's energy transition. I express my gratitude to each one of you for your support. I now look forward to your queries and perspectives in this interactive session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sahil Sharma from SS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So if we look at the shunt division and especially the US geography, I think that has been a big driver of growth for us in the past. And right now, it was not a very good growth in that division. So just wanted to understand what was the reason for lack of growth there, for year-on-year growth, and is it primarily some kind of destocking happening with our distributors, or is there a slowdown in the end consumer demand, or what are the drivers for this segment right now for the group?
Thank you, Sahil. So I'd like to invite Mr. Kanav Anand to address your question.
Hi, Sahil. Good question. No, that's correct. I think you answered the question a little bit yourself. Yes, there has been a lot of post-COVID. We all know that companies worked on increased demands and in anticipation of, I would say, shortages and issues in the supply chain in general. But now, since this situation with which we've all seen that now transportation systems are back in place, customs and shipping lines are fully operational, there are no more lockdowns. So with the transportation system getting back to normal, companies have started rebalancing their inventory situation. That is definitely one of the reasons why there is some kind of a flat, not so high growth quarter for us. The other reasons are also, as we all know, that with the Ukraine situation, with the war that has happened, there is energy crisis, which has resulted in a lot of increase in manufacturing costs for manufacturers in Europe as well as in North America, which has impacted demand. And of course, with inflation and increase in interest rates, situations have also got, with the tightening of strings, the demand situation is kind of weakened. But keeping all these things in mind, the current quarter is comparatively slower as what has been in the previous year for us, in the last quarter of the previous year, but we are hopeful that the conditions are slightly getting better, and we see that third and fourth quarter for us should be much stronger than what it has been for us in this quarter.
Got it, sir. And this other question I have, sir, is we got a exchange notification for a new factory that we are starting. So can you please talk about which factory this is?
Yeah, Sahil. So this is a procedural thing. Whenever you are getting any license from such institutions, you need to disclose with the exchanges. So this is a procedural. We got such intimation and accordingly intimated to the exchanges. This is the same unit for factory as we have been talking continuously.
Right, sir. And sir, last question is on inventory position. If you look at our inventory, it has come down significantly. Is this also more of a sustainable inventory number because, you know, the destocking and, like you said, inventory position moving from just in case to just in time kind of inventory? Is that and is this a sustainable inventory for us, the current numbers?
Yes, correct. So it's a sustainable number, and this is one area we have been focusing to improve for so long, and currently we are in a situation to sustain at this level of 200 days. But it depends on the business scenario also. Maybe tomorrow we are scaling up the revenue, so it will be a marginal plus minus here on. But as I say, this is a sustainable base in terms of inventory management.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Sahil.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vikram from Nivesha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead. Vikram,
hello.
Hi,
sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, my first question was, have we completed the full capex in this quarter?
So, as I correctly understand your question, you are asking about the capex utilization?
Yeah, with the commissioning of new facility, I was asking, have we completed our total capex?
Yes, to a certain extent, we have already completed almost 80% of our capex.
Okay. And sir, in our presentation, we have mentioned like we are enjoying a strong balance sheet with headroom to raise capital. So are we planning any capital raise in future?
We are always focusing on the organic growth, keeping in mind the inorganic opportunities. So whatever we have mentioned in the presentation is the result of inorganic opportunities that will come as and when on the table. Accordingly, we will decide what will be the mode of raising capital.
So currently, we don't have any idea?
No.
Any proposal?
Not at this moment, there is nothing on the table.
We are looking at various opportunities. We are assessing them. At this stage, it is not. None of them are at a level where we can talk about it. But you know, hopefully, in the upcoming calls in the future, we'll have more information on it. But as of today, we don't. But yes, if a situation like that arises, then yes, we will be looking at some kind of a capital raise if required, if the project demands it.
Okay. And sir, last question on domestic smart meter revenue contribution side. What is total revenue contribution from domestic smart meter business? So government is releasing many projects related to smart meters. So I wanted to understand like how it will benefit to Shivalik and what is contribution in our top line.
Vikram, just to give you a background, government has been talking about smart meters for the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah,
and we are talking about 250 million smart meters need to be installed in the next 5 to 7 years period. And we've been talking about this in the last 3 years in fact. But the installation and deployment has been relatively very slow. In fact, out of the 250 million meters, we are talking about roughly 2 million meters have been deployed so far. So we're talking about less than 1% deployment. So smart meter is still at its infancy, but there has been a lot of investment and a lot of, I would say, activities going on this year in this particular field. And a lot of new entrants in terms of relay manufacturers required for making or required as a part inside the meter are coming into picture. The government is also playing very strong role in promoting local industry by adding and implementing phase-wise duty structures on import of certain components and parts for the smart meter, which is going to push the local market and the local industry towards growth. And we foresee that 2024 January or third quarter or fourth quarter of 2023 is where we would start seeing the real push towards deployment of smart meters in the country.
And what is current contribution in our business, if I ask for Indian smart, like domestic smart meter business, in total revenue?
In total revenue, the is about 24 to 26%.
24 to 26% is contribution from domestic India only, correct?
No, the overall metering. Domestic, if, which would at the moment is about 90% of that is non-smart metering basically. So if you talk about this metering portion, it's about 4 to 5% only.
Okay.
Because and yet to really.
Yeah, as Mr. Anand mentioned that it's you know at the infancy stage, but where we see these development taking place, where our product is utilized in the relays and the relays. You know, a lot is dependent upon the manufacturing of relays in India. And now, for the first time, you know, in the last 1-2 years, what we have seen is that a lot of relay manufacturing bases are being set up here. So we see that this real boom of the smart meters will start materializing more and more into business from this the quarter three of this year onwards. Because at this stage, we are already supplying and we are already there. Just the volumes need to go into that exponential stage. So yes, whatever relays are manufactured in India, there we are confident that majority of that business for our components will come to us.
Okay. So all these players like HPL, Genus are clients of Shivalik.
That's correct. They are already our clients. They are our clients for single phase meters and some for smart meters. But as their portion of deployment of the smart meter will increase, our share of and contribution of our parts and components into their smart meeting will also increase.
And sir, last if I ask for what is opportunity per smart meter for Shivalik in rupee terms?
Opportunity?
Like per smart meter, what is opportunity for Shivalik for our products?
Okay. We have a potential of about 150 rupees.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Mittal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Very good afternoon.
Yeah. So, first of all, sir, 2-3 clarifications. In reference to the earlier question about the new plant, from what we understand, I think it was already commercialized in, by Q3 or Q4 of last financial year. Is that right or it has got commercial now only?
Operationally, Ayush, it was in the trials and continuation.
Okay.
But you know there is a certification needed for that purposes. So we got the certification and this is a procedural be put on the exchanges. This is what.
But were we already doing like commercial production or that will start now is what we are trying to understand.
See, it's not as simple an answer for that, Ayush. The thing is that the setting up of the process in the plant itself is like, as you know, is a 18-20 month process to set the mill and to get the. So a lot of the trials that were happening was for sample purposes as well as for internal testing purposes to have the. So even though the equipment etc. was installed and commissioned. But most of it, like you said, in the quarter four last year, or last quarter of calendar year last year. But the official factory licenses, etc., were done more recently. But we were doing trials as well as setting up the equipment and getting all the processes in place.
So, 2-3 things on this. First, given that we have done a very large expansion, we have almost tripled the capacity. So, one, where are we at the stage of onboarding new customers or tying up with them? What kind of customers are we adding on? Or if you can give some insights on how we plan to utilize this new capacity that we have created, how is that progress happening?
So the thing is that, you see, a lot of our sampling, a lot of our business opportunity with this expansion. Yeah, can you hear me?
I couldn't hear you. Yeah, can you repeat? Yeah.
A lot of our expansion related to this this increase in capacity, can the sampling could be done with our existing processes as well. But our customers give us the opportunity of supplying them with samples once they knew that we have the installed capacity in place. Development with customers was not directly linked with setting up the plant, as long as they could in their audits tell that the expansion has been done or it is in its final stages of being done.
Yeah.
So a lot of materialization of business is already done as we speak, and a lot of it is in very advanced stages as well. So I would say that Shivalik is easily in a position to increase its bimetal output by maybe 50% or 60% from as a result of this added capacity, and which also eases off some of the overcapacity that was taking place in the existing equipment. So it's a both technical as well as a marketing related advantage.
And most interestingly, I would say you were seeing that our bimetal business is growing consistently quarter one, quarter two, quarter three onwards. And to be very honest, the domestic market is going strong. The demand is strong, as well as our international presence is strengthening our position to add on more customers. And we have, I would say, a lot of business opportunities at the moment to continuously grow our bimetal business with this enhanced capacity, which was not possible if this was not there.
Okay. And on the shunt side?
On the shunt side, as we just mentioned, that there are small certain hiccups which happened because of the inflationary trends, because of the Ukraine-Russia war. But in terms of the capacity, we have already working towards enhancing our capacities, and we have enhanced our capacities. And with the opportunities in the smart meter applications, with opportunities in electric vehicle and stuff, we are anticipating a lot of opportunities and growth in that particular specific field as well.
Okay. Coming specifically on the shunt side, we have seen that we had a large customer and we were in talks with lots of new customers who could scale up quite a lot. And we have mentioned in the presentation in past that we have at least 7-8 tie-ups which can materially scale up. Where are we in progress on those other relationships? Because the hiccups might be on the older relationship where there might be some mismatch on the demand and supply. But on the newer relationships which can materially add to our business, where are we in with those customers and how is the scale-up happening?
See, new developments or the existing customers, the market scenarios and fundamentals and factors are the same. So, of course, we have already scaled up in terms of we've added a number of our customers in our bucket. We have several activities in parallel running with various automobile as well as electronic energy storage applications, and all of them are progressing. And that's why we said that quarter one, quarter two could comparatively be a little lot slower than what we when it comes to quarter three and four, we anticipate a strong demand for our products.
Okay, great. So one more thing, Mr. Ranjan, maybe you can share on this technical aspect. Like Sahil mentioned, that our inventory days has fallen. And as we have not grown, so is it that the production has come down because of maybe the rains or other problems in that area?
Yeah, no, that is not the problem. It is not due to the rain. So inventory days has come due to the inventory management efficiency system. And second, as we already mentioning that we are now depending on the local resources. And due to that, these measures in terms of reduction in days has happened, and which is sustainable in the long run.
Actually, we were consciously working on different strategies to bring this down, because we knew that this was a problem area which needed to be addressed. And now what we see is a sort of a result of those measures that were taken, and we will continue to work on that. Because we understand the value it brings to the company overall.
Just to make you comfortable, we understand the aspect of lean manufacturing, and We are working on various techniques involved to keep ourselves as lean as possible in terms of keeping in mind the foresight that we are, the demand or the forecast that we receive from our customers.
Great. Great. So, sir, overall, given the short-term hiccup that we are seeing, and we have usually maintained that the past growth rate is something that we can maintain. So, despite the challenges we have seen in Q1, do you believe that for the year we can still grow at 25% odd kind of number?
See, we are very hopeful. We are very confident, and we are looking at number. Even if it's not 25%, we are looking at a strong growth, anything between 15% to 20%, which will, keeping in mind the current situation that we see globally, will still be a very strong, I would say, growth for Shivalik.
Okay. Thank you.
This will also depend on certain global factors, how certain things pan out. It's a, you know, bit of a vision for certain things, and let's hope things go in the best direction. And yes, if they do, then we are confident of reaching those numbers.
Great, sir. This was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yep. Hi. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, you know, we have the revenue potential of about 1600 crores across our, you know, three units, you know, post once the capex is done. So what is a reasonable timeline by when you guys think you can, you know, reach, you know, full utilization? And, you know, within our shunt segment, if you could just split what are the what is the revenue mix by industry, and you know, maybe 5 years out or in the long term, what kind of mix do you think it would settle at? So essentially, you know, which are the segments that you think will drive growth for us within the shunt category? That's my first question.
Okay, so I feel that this utilization and this number of the capacity that you just mentioned, we are looking at that in you know, anywhere between a 5 to 7 year kind of a period, depending on various factors. We are looking at it like that. In terms of shunts, you see, we see that an initial few years of the growth driver would probably come more from smart meters, because you know what kind of push the government is doing in the smart meter industry, and as we move towards more and more energy efficient methods of transport like EVs, hybrids, etc., we will see that in a few years' time, let's say a 3 to 4 year time, we see that becoming the driver of growth. So that's the timeline that we see in terms of shunts and the share of growth. However, also after that period of time, we do see that there will be a consistent growth, a certain level of consistent growth coming from meter requirements anyway, because this is just a 25 crore meter push, and then beyond that also there will be some steady requirement
of say about 7 to 8% growth
with a smaller growth, and then so we get that initial push from there, and then that push transfers into the automotive sector.
Got it. And what would our revenue split be in within our shunts? How much is coming from, EV? How much is coming from non-EV, auto, smart meter, 5G? If you could give a broad split there.
So I would say automotive and metering contribute the major portion of our shunt business, which would be about 75 to 80%. And the balance will come from energy storage and inverter applications.
And so currently between automotive and metering, it's almost the same split.
Okay.
And we see that remaining the same or, you know, in that similar ratio for another few years until the automotive may take over and,
yes,
you know, go beyond a certain... and within automotive applications, it's very hard to say which one is an EV and which one is a non-EV, because there are certain common shunts that are used in pure EVs, certain of those shunts may be utilized in non-EV applications as well.
And so it's very hard to put a split to that. As we see EV is becoming more and more common, we'll see that more of those shunts are utilized in EV. So that's, you know, so we look at automotive as a whole.
Would you have a sense of how many shunts are from the BMS application?
BMS is one shunt, one car. Wait, one car, one shunt is the BMS.
No, as a percentage of our revenue, how much would be BMS today?
In terms of percentage of BMS, it would be about roughly about 45% of the total.
Of the total of automotive?
Of the automotive revenue, yes.
Okay, half of, so let's say almost, okay.
Almost half of the automotive part revenue. Of revenue, yeah.
Got it. Fair enough. And you mentioned the value per shunt or per smart meter is 150 rupees. I just wanted to clarify that. Were you referring to the value of the total number of shunts that go into a smart meter is 150, or the per shunt value that goes into a smart meter is 150?
No, we are looking at an opportunity as a whole, because we also manufacture the silver contacts that go into these. So there are two relays that are utilized in every meter, and a certain number of contacts are used, and assuming that we can supply, target a certain number of those and the shunt that goes into it, that way we've taken out an entire value of roughly 150 rupees. In some cases it will be more than that, in some cases it could be only the shunt, which is about 50 rupees.
Yeah, so
150 is
the opportunity in total.
Is the opportunity to take.
For in energy meters, yeah.
Got it. And within that, how much would the shunt be? And the reason why I'm asking the split is the margin is, I believe, is different. So if 150 is the total value, then we're saying shunt out of that is 50 rupees, give or take.
Yeah, about a third of that. Yeah, right. 45, 50 rupees. Yes.
Got it. So is it fair to assume that the value per shunt in smart meters is higher in smart meters versus other applications like automotive and all? Because And one final question, you know, at 1600 crores sales, you know, what would our EBITDA margin look like? Because, you know, as we go, you know, there should be also some operating leverage that kicks in. So, you know, what would the margins be at those levels?
Currently, as we are maintaining it between 23% to 26%, and if the scale will be around 1500 crore plus, so you are right, operational efficiency will give us at least 2 to 3% additional EBITDA margin.
Because we're doing about 26% right now, so, you know, there should be more operating leverage that comes through. So if we're doing 26% right now, then can it be more like 28-29% at 1600 crores?
That's correct. Yes. I mean, that's what we would expect. Yes.
Got it. Fair enough, sir. I'll just join back in the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kalpesh Gothi from Valentis Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my question related to smart meter. Yesterday, government has issued the mandatory quality norms for the smart meter to curb the imports of the substandard. Is it also applicable for the smart meter raw material also?
Could you repeat your question? You're not very clear, very audible.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, you are.
In between, we lost
some of your voice. So, if you can just repeat your question, please.
So, yesterday, government has issued the mandatory quality norms for the smart meter to curb the substandard imports. So, is that applicable for the smart meter raw material also, what we are supplying?
No, the question is very relevant and it's a good question. See, the implementation of this smart meter this time is completely different from what it has been in the past. The program that we have is that the government, each manufacturer would have to offer a 10-year program where it's not just making a smart meter but also installing it and servicing the consumer. So obviously with that, it kind of increases the responsibility of the supplier or the meter manufacturer to not just make substandard meters, but also eliminate the use of substandard raw materials and raw material components. And that's something directly, indirectly will impact the industry and add more opportunity to strong supplier, component suppliers in the market.
So, what percentage is imports currently?
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but the line for you is not very clear.
Just
I can't hear you.
I'm audible now?
It's slightly better. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So what percentage of import materials are used currently?
What percentage of import materials are used?
Yeah.
Currently.
In smart meter.
In smart meter, it's a question very hard to respond to be very honest. We are more focused on our core competency and components and not really interest. But of course, if you look at the industry, there are a lot of materials still which have been imported. And with the strong push from the government to focus on Make in India and adding import duties on these specific parts, is going to drive I would say, enough opportunities for the local component manufacturers to grow with this opportunity.
So let me add one more question. You know, what is our market share in domestic smart meter?
In domestic smart meter, today we contribute almost about 65 to 70% of the single phase meter through Shivalik for the components on the shunt side.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Veech from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My first question is on the CAPEX. You talked about 80% CAPEX is completed till now. So, what is the timeline for full completion of the CAPEX?
About 18 months or so.
Even from today, you are talking about 18 more months?
From today only, I am talking about 18 months.
Okay, okay. My next question is on the bimetal side. So, sir, on the shunt side, we are seeing inventory correction. But bimetal side, if you can talk about it, the demand is still strong. There was a lot of shortages last year. We are expanding capacities there. So, are you seeing any slowdown or do you think this year can be as good as, if not better, compared to last year? And do you see this very strong growth in bimetal to last at least for 1-2 more years, if you can talk about the same?
We see our growth coming, you know, at different times coming from different geographic regions. Right now we see that there is growth, but not as much as we anticipated from the export business. But since that's a smaller percentage, it doesn't have as big an impact. However, we see a strong growth from the Indian market. And in our case, especially in our case, our growth is not just market linked. Because of our added capacities, we have a lot more opportunities materializing in hand. So we will continue to see growth coming from there, and as a result, overall growth.
And you would see that our bimetal side of the business has grown almost 22%, 22.5% from last year. And to be very honest, we are very positive about our bimetal business this year as well.
Right.
And going forward to the next year as well.
See, we've been able to achieve this 22% growth while during half that period our capacity increase process was still not in place. So now with the capacity increase process completely set up and working, you know, we should see a much stronger growth in bimetal in the coming years. Coming quarters and years.
That is very good to hear, sir. On the shunt side, so we have one anchor customer based out of US, but there are two more big anchor customers which we have been trying to develop over the last 3, 5, 7 years, which are maybe as big, if not bigger than our current anchor US-based customers. So if you can talk about the scaling on those specific two customers I am talking about, which we have already worked 5-7 years. Why we are not seeing the scaling on those two customers, as well as do we expect the scaling to happen sometimes in second half, or do you think it will still take maybe 1-2 more years for that scaling to happen in those two big customers?
I think there is some confusion. See, first of all, we don't refer to or consider any customer of ours as an anchor customer, because we consider, you know, whether it is a large customer of ours or small customer of ours, we don't consider it, we don't look at it like that. There are some very reputed automotive customers who buy a very specific kind of a shunt, and maybe their volume is low, but we consider them to be a super important customer for us in a lot of other ways. So coming to the other aspect of your question, largest customers in the automotive business are being scaled over time. You see, these products are so critical that customers take time to give you more and more business. They start with 5% for 1 year, then a 10%, 15%. So even though we have been approved with such customers for, let's say, 3 or 4 years, the initial increase goes over a few years, and as and when that confidence and that trust is achieved beyond a certain number of years is when we see the real scaling up happening.
So just to kind of highlight that again, so it's not that we just depend on one or two customers. It's we have already made inroads to many big customers on the shunt resistor side of business. And as Sumer just mentioned, it takes time to gain a bigger share of their pie, because these are critical components, and as you go along the journey with them, slowly, gradually, one tends to scale up the requirements and demands.
So the question was that only, that like sir talked about, real scaling happens after a trust is built. So the question was that 3-4 years we have already supplied. So do you think it will take maybe 1-2 more years for that trust to be finally built and scaling to happen?
Maybe that 3-4 years, are we talking about a specific customer? Because, you know, we have several customers who fall into exactly the same category that you're talking of. So we can't understand which customer you're referring to. So I don't think we'll be able to give you the right answer for what you're asking. But there is no such thing, you know, there are certain customers wherein we start getting larger volumes from the first year onwards. And there are, so every company also has their own, you know, policies when it comes to such things.
Sure, sir. My final question is on the electrical contact side. So I believe smart meter will be one of the opportunities where we see scaling happen. So is my assumption correct that, so you talked about smart meter opportunity coming in, say, Q3, Q4. So that will be the time period we'll start seeing some more traction, because electrical contact business hasn't scaled compared to the opportunity available, if you can talk about the same.
Right. So electrical contact business is a little bit, you know, different from the other two verticals. A, it was a joint venture until about a year ago. So the strategy, etc., the market access and those factors were very differently dealt with in that area. Now, being a wholly owned subsidiary and a separate product vertical within the Shivalik product range, our strategy are working on it. Our method of working towards that has become totally different. Now, you see, we are running that business or that plant at a full capacity, and our new plant is under construction, which means that in about 12 to 14 months. Period, we should have that plant running and upcoming and that capacity added, and from that point onwards we should be able to see a scale, because there are a lot of our existing customers for that business are ready to give us more business, but we have to create the capacity for it, which is under process at this point.
Sorry, just one clarification. So when the capacities are online, do you think the utilization will be very fast given the strong demand in, and as you are saying, customers are already ready? Is my understanding
Yes, for certain product categories, yes, your understanding is correct. For certain product category may not be that. So I would say about 50-60% of our business, the product categories that it comes from, this 100% applies to that, wherein the more capacity we add, the more we can supply, because our existing customers only want us to supply more. So as soon as we have added capacity, we should fill it up with business. But for certain, the other half of the product categories, it is not as simple as that. where, you know, after adding those, after moving to the new plant, after adding those capacities, it will take a little bit longer to get that in place, and not just because of the business opportunity, but also because when you move from one location to the other, certain revalidation and testings have to be done again. So the process is slower, and in these processes, on these products, sometimes the testing and periods can also take, you know, a pretty long time. But I can confidently say about half of that business can be, the capacity can be, the business can be increased with just adding capacity.
Thank you, sir, for answering all the questions.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shantanu Nakade from Value Educator. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my question related to smart meters has already been answered. My next question is, out of the total export, how much of the revenue comes as Shivalik being the tier 1 supplier?
Could you repeat your question? Did you say how much of that business comes from tier 1 suppliers?
Yes.
And this you're talking about our export business?
Yes, export, from total export.
On the total export business?
I would say if you look at the biometal side of our business, almost 100% of our business comes from tier 1 suppliers. On the resistor side of the business, I would say about 30%, 25 to 30% comes from tier 1 suppliers, whereas 65 to 70% comes, we go as tier 2 suppliers.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from the line of Prateek Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Could you please repeat
sir, sorry to interrupt, but we could not get your audio. We could not hear you.
Please. Is it audible now?
Yes. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So the shunts that we supply for our for the single phase meter and the smart meters currently, what is our their proportion in current domestic revenues or in overall revenues?
I think we already said that it's about 25-26%
domestic and rest from
also of the total revenue.
Okay, and this. As far as the industry is concerned, the smart meters, these 25 crore smart meters, they are to be supplied by FY26. Is that correct? Is that the understanding that you've got from the government?
The optimistic plan, yes, as per the government, is of FY26.
But realistically,
we feel that looking at the capacities installed, And the speed, because it's not just, as I was explaining, it's not just making meters, but it also includes installation and service providing, because all these contracts are including that. So it would take almost about, according to us, anything between 6 to 7 years to complete this installation.
Okay. And in your rough assessment, what would be our market share in these meters, in the products that we supply?
See, anything between 60 to 70% is what we are targeting. We already have that much market share when it comes to the single phase meters. So we hope to convert that much share in the smart meter as well on the shunt side. And along with that, of course, with the smart meter coming in, the added opportunity that we have is also on a silver contact business, where we will add a lot of potential because a lot of these relays will use these silver contacts, and that's where we'll play a role. And I think Sumer can add a little more on that.
I think, the answer to that is what Kanav mentioned is absolutely correct, but it's also linked to some extent with what percentage of relays are manufactured in India out of those smart meters that are manufactured. So the faster the Indian the faster India can adopt manufacturing of those relays, the higher percentage of market share we can get from that.
But if the relay continues to get imported, which has been the case in the past, but is consistently changing as we speak, if the relays, if certain percentage of relays continue to get imported, that is where our market share possibility goes down. So it has become very important that the relays are manufactured in India rather than being imported. And as we, what we have seen a lot of relay manufacturers, from reputed ones from, you know, Germany, from China, from within indigenously developed ones within India, have been massively investing and setting capacities as well as plants for making those relays. Hence, we feel confident that those relays that are manufactured here, we should be able to achieve a major portion of that market share. But whatever continues to be imported, there we have lesser chances because of obvious reasons. Because there they can source those components from whichever market it is being imported from.
It's the
So sorry to interrupt, but we lost your audio again. If you could please repeat your question.
Yeah, I said, is it the contacts that go in the relays?
Yes, the contacts go inside the relays. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and you said the our expansion is taking place in the next 12 months for contacts. So what will that increase our capacity by in percentage terms?
That should, in the first phase, it should add about a 100% capacity increase. And then in the phase, maybe 2 years, to 2 to 3 years from now, we should be able to add another 100%. So we should be able to double our capacity within 12 to 14 months. 12 plus months will be, you know, and then another 12 months from then, we should be able to double it, in the sense, add 33% to it.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us today. Your participation is greatly appreciated. We remain focused on delivering reliable solutions and contributing to India's energy transformation. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to Dickenson and we will be happy to answer. Your continued support in Shivalik is instrumental in our success and we look forward to the journey ahead together. Thank you all and have a good evening.
Thank you. On behalf of Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.